For BBS Radio, this is Lexi Ross with Health Frontiers. Tonight, we are going to be discussing a very serious subject that most Americans really are not aware of because it is a food code that has been put through by the name of Codex Alimentarius, a sort of cryptic title to keep people from really understanding the truth about what it's proposing. And tonight, we have with us Dr. Rima Lebeau, who has been a physician since about 1970, and she has dedicated herself to defeating this codex, and she's going to be telling us all about it tonight. Good evening, Rima. It's really a pleasure to have you here.
Well, I'm just delighted to be talking with you, Lexi.
You know, the codex started, what, way back in 1962, and why is it that it is just now coming into fruition, and you know, it seems like it might have morphed since the original concept, and maybe you can talk about that with us.
Well, actually, Codex was born in 1962. The United Nations created it as a trade commission, and it asked the UN asked the World Health Organization (WHO) and the Food and Agriculture Organization (FAO) to run it, to be its mommy and daddy, so to speak, to fund it, to provide a secretariat for it, and to give it the support that it needed. In 1963, various committees, like the Committee on Meat and Milk and Milk Products, animal pharmaceuticals, pesticides, Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Uses, Committee on Food Labeling, Committee on Groundnuts, Fish and Fisheries. These committees were formed and they started promulgating regulations. And that's what Codex does. It promulgates regulations which are supposed to govern international trade. Codex was a completely voluntary system of trade regulation until 1994. In 1994, the World Trade Organization was created, and the World Trade Organization has the power to levy trade sanctions, which are imposed on an annual basis until a country knuckles under. Now, very importantly, the World Trade Organization adopted the Codex Alimentarius regulations, standards, and guidelines as a standard by which the trade disputes involving food that nations bring against one another could be decided. And when the World Trade Organization adopted Codex as its standard for dispute resolution, Codex became very, very significant because it acquired fangs. It had a big bite because World Trade Organization sanctions can run to the billions of dollars and are applied yearly until a country cries uncle and does whatever the WTO wants it to do.
Well, the WTO has absolute power over our Congress, isn't that true?
Except that I will point out that it, according to the Constitution, a document with which we have a frayed relationship at best at this point, the majority of the Congress, or a two-thirds majority of the Congress, is necessary to get us into a treaty, to ratify a treaty. And the World Trade Organization was never ratified as a treaty. It was passed as a law, fast-tracking it for Bill Clinton. So if you remember your high school civics, you may wonder whether we are in fact in the World Trade Organization. And my constitutional lawyers tell me, no, we are not. So we could have a very interesting situation if we press that forward. But for practical purposes right now, we seem to be acting as if we are in a treaty. And as you know, because of the Constitution again, Article 6, Clause 2, the international treaty law that the United States enters into supersedes domestic law, which means the World Trade Organization and all of its implications do reach deep, deep, deep into our country, into our laws, and supersede the Congress and the states. So when the World Trade Organization says jump, the United States says, okay,
how high?
Not only how high, but how many times.
Yeah.
So we have a problem. Now, the Codex Alimentarius regulations are also, according to their mandate, supposed to protect consumers. But in fact, once the World Trade Organization adopted Codex as one of its tools for resolving disputes, what happened was that the multinationals got very, very interested in Codex and began using their significant power, influence, and money basically to run Codex. And to my knowledge, and I've studied Codex pretty deeply, every single one of the decisions made by Codex favors the corporate entities and harms consumers and their health. Let me give you some illustrations.
Sure.
By the way, people can get much more information, detailed discussions of this, and find out what to do about it, which I hope we'll be talking about, if they go to www.healthfreedomusa.org. That's www.healthfreedomusa.org. Let me tell you some of the things that Codex has already done.
Okay.
And you remember that, or maybe you don't remember yet, but I'll tell you that in 1995, the FDA announced in the Federal Register on October 11th that it was U.S. policy to harmonize, that is the Orwellian term, harmonize, and I suggest you capitalize the first four letters of that word, to harmonize with international standards in preference to domestic U.S. standards, regulations, even if those standards were not complete. In other words, whatever Codex wants, Codex is going to get as far as the U.S. government is concerned. So what does Codex want? Well, here are some of the things that Codex, which governs everything that goes into your mouth, Lexi, except drugs. It governs fruit and fish and meat and milk and water and nuts. Everything is governed by Codex. Now, Codex has already dictated that for international trade, and the recommendation is also for domestic law, in every country around the world, all food must be irradiated. All food.
That is so frightening.
Despite the fact that irradiated food has an extremely high free radical content and the fats become carcinogenic. Despite that.
Well, I know for a fact that most of the organic foods that I've been buying for the last year or so have been radiated because they don't ever spoil in the refrigerator.
Organic foods?
Yes.
Well, that's illegal.
I know. Well, that's what's happening, though.
And it's pretty frightening.
Oh, yeah.
But the irradiation of foods is a ghastly, ghastly travesty of what happens when you use science, because it's really using science against life, not for life. But it gets worse, Lexi. Codex has already passed regulations that say that, or I should say ratified, because they don't pass, they don't vote on anything, has already ratified regulations that say that all animals must be treated with antibiotics if they're used for food. All animals must be treated with growth hormones if they're used for food. It says that all cows used for dairy must be treated with recombinant bovine growth hormone made by Monsanto.
That's
worldwide.
The RBGH hormone has already been proven to cause, the
premature
brain,
puberty,
no,
cancer.
Brain disease, my mind went blank, mad cow disease. In fact, I interviewed a nurse 2 years ago who told me that they kept telling her father had Alzheimer's, and in fact he had mad cow disease. This was a nurse.
Well, many people who are diagnosed with Alzheimer's do, in fact, have mad cow disease because it is in the food supply. But I would be very interested in seeing that that link. I'm not aware of it. That doesn't mean it isn't true, but I'm not aware of that. Recombinant bovine growth hormone causes many, many, many serious things that are major disease issues, including premature puberty and increased amounts of cancer and just horrible stuff. But if it's also associated with the prion disease, mad cow disease, I would be very happy to know that. And if you could send that to me by email, Lexi, I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
So we have Codex setting standards that are not in people's favor in terms of health and longevity. Last July 4th, ironically, the Codex Alimentarius Commission, which I was attending as a private observer along with the president of the Natural Solutions Foundation, General Stubblebine, the Codex Alimentarius Commission ratified the Vitamin and Mineral Guideline. Now, the Vitamin and Mineral Guideline treats nutrients as toxins because in Codex, nutrients are defined as toxins, and the use of risk assessment, which is a process out of toxicology, and the guidance of the World Health Organization about how to do this says that an adverse event associated with nutrients, an adverse event associated with a nutrient is defined as any change in any biomarker. In other words, if you can measure any change in any direction, good or bad, coming from the use of a nutrient, that
Wait
is...
a minute. Let me back up a minute. When you're saying nutrient, you're referring to vitamins and minerals and herbs, are you not?
Well, that's a very good question, Lexi. Codex was trying to ban herbs, and so many countries have their population totally dependent on herbs for their medical system that there was a lot of objection. So the United States delegate said, okay, I've got a great idea. We'll give herbs to the World Health Organization. Herbs will no longer be a part of Codex. So herbs are now covered by the World Health Organization, not by Codex. But nutrients, which means vitamins, minerals, enzymes, cofactors, CoQ10, alpha-ketoglutarate, whatever it is that people want to take to enhance their well-being, vitamin C and so on, those are covered by Codex. They are dietary supplements covered by Codex. And the Codex Vitamin and Mineral Guideline itself pertains only to vitamins and minerals. But the World Health Organization has provided a workshop document on the application of risk assessment to all nutrients and recommends that all nutrients be limited to those dosage levels which have no discernible impact on the human body. In other words, you can take enough vitamin C or D or B or CoQ10 or whatever to satisfy your imagination, but not to have an impact on your body. That dosage, which has a measurable impact, for instance, if you take vitamin B12 or folic acid and it lowers your homocysteine, that would be considered an adverse event, and that dosage would be forbidden. Now, many people say, well, that's okay, I'll just get it from my doctor as if it were a drug. No, 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 no. It will be unavailable because it would be considered an untested drug.
And what is so absolutely ridiculous about this is that there are so many truly untested drugs that have so many horrible side effects that are distributed by the pharmaceutical industry, and yet they have the audacity to put controls on things that God provided us in nature.
Precisely. But the things that God provided us in nature can't be patented and therefore are very low profit.
Right.
And that's the issue.
Right. Well, we can
so we're talking, and now, by the way, I want to tell you that the multinational interests that are served by Codex are what I call the five bigs. Big Pharma, first and foremost, Big Chema, Big Biotechna, Big Agribiz, and Big Medica. Those are the winners.
And what are the major corporations? One of them I know is Monsanto. What about Lilly and Pfizer and some of them?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're right in there pitching. They are running Codex. So I thought that this was a pretty terrible thing, and I thought that the people of the world who are going to pay the price for this, the most nutritionally vulnerable here in the United States and elsewhere, first needed to know about this. So I asked a team of what I call my genetically modified lawyers, good guy lawyers, to examine Codex and the WTO and come up with the solution. And indeed they have. The solution is a two-step process that any country, including the United States, can engage in, which is to adopt a revised standard guideline or regulation which is based on better science than Codex. And that's not hard, because Codex science is tobacco science, or in this case, drug science. It's corrupted science that gives the answers that the corporate sponsor wants, and we've seen enough of that in this country to understand it. So it adopts a better guideline, standard, or regulation, and then it enacts the enabling legislation that brings it into law in that country. Then, when another country takes it into a trade dispute in the World Trade Organization setting, since it's based on better science, it wins, because the WTO doesn't care which regulation you use as long as you use a regulation or a standard or a guideline that is based on better science. And you will remember a while back I said that the WTO had accepted Codex as a standard for dispute resolution, a standard, not the standard. Therefore, if a country chooses to do something different from Codex and can back it up with better science, they win. Now, in the United States, in terms of dietary supplements, for instance, we already have a law that protects dietary supplements as foods, not as things that need to be controlled. And DSHEA, the Dietary Supplements Health and Education Act, says that nutrients, supplements, herbs are foods, and as foods, they can have no upper limit placed on their use, because they don't need an upper limit, just the same way lettuce doesn't need an upper limit. It's a food. You can eat as much as you want. Well, the pharmaceutical companies are not very happy with that, because, frankly speaking, it's very simple. Healthy people are bad customers.
Okay.
And the sicker we are, the more adulterated our food supply is, and the more dependent we are on pharmaceuticals for the chronic diseases of undernutrition, which the World Health Organization has identified, the major killers, that's cancer, cardiovascular disease, stroke, diabetes, obesity. These diseases are the diseases of undernutrition. You make the food supply toxic, you take out the nutrients, and people need drugs because you've taken away all their vitamins, all their minerals, all their health factors. And
I mean,
that's the Codex plan.
The microwave oven itself does that.
The microwave oven is a terrible, way to prepare food if you're looking for health. There's another thing. In the United States, we are suing the United States government. We have a citizen's petition on our website. The website is www.healthfreedomusa.org. And we urge you all to go there and to look around, take the actions that are listed, and become informed, become a point source of information. If you sign up for the newsletter, and your information will always remain private, I promise you, we will send you information that you can then disseminate to your circle of influence, because this information is not on the evening news. It's not in the print media. You're just not going to hear it elsewhere, because...
And why isn't it?
Well, let me give you a simple fact. Last year, the amount of money that Fox News took in for pharmaceutical advertising was $2.3 billion. So when a Fox anchor said, "I'm going to tell the Codex story on the air," he went to his producers and they said, sounds like a great story. This was after we had spoken with him and explained the codex to him. They said, sounds like a great story. We'll take it to corporate, which is their procedure. And corporate came back and said, sit down, shut up. He said, no, this is a great story. They said, you like working here? You like your job? Sit down, shut up, you're not telling this story. He said, right, I'm not telling the story. We're talking about offending $2.3 billion worth of advertising in order to tell the truth. What do you think they're going to choose? And it's
so
the same with
the story gone to like National Public Radio that supposedly...
National Public Radio has a policy, I was told by an NPR host, of not touching codex. Archer Daniels Midland is a major sponsor of National Public Radio. I don't know whether that has anything to do with it, but Archer Daniels Midland is up to its eye bones in genetically modified food, for instance, in pesticides and putting family farms out of business, just like Monsanto is, in all the practices that turn out foods that I don't want to put into my body. So perhaps that's related, perhaps it's not, but the fact is NPR won't touch it. You would think they would, but they don't, and they won't. I've spoken to NPR people in many venues around the country, and they would like to do the story, but the story just doesn't go.
What about Amy Goodman?
Well, Amy Goodman has covered the story. We've done some work on Pacifica Radio. We would like her to do more, and I'm sure she would. It's hard to reach these folks, Randy Rhodes and so on, you know, unless somebody has a contact, in which case, please email me. My email is Rima, R-I-M-A, dot Labo, L-A-I-B-O-W, at healthfreedomusa.org. That's a very good way to get to me. And if you have contacts with the folks who can get this story out in a big way, then by all means, let's do it.
I'm certain that I can help you out in that. I'm not friendly with Randy, but I'm certainly friendly with Mike Malloy.
Fabulous.
I've known
Fabulous.
Him 25 years.
The story needs to be told.
Yeah. You need to outline some of the things that you know. I mean, I've heard that a billion people, if they take our herbs away from us, a billion people will die.
That's correct.
You know, that's an astronomical figure, and I'm sure it could be more. And I think I'm a little confused about when you say that our vitamins and herbs come under the food category, then how is it that our herbs and vitamins are going to be restricted then with the codex? I'm not quite
Very good
that.
Question. First of all, let me remind you that codex covers everything that goes into your mouth. But let's focus the discussion right now on nutrients, okay?
Okay.
Codex is not in the process of restricting herbs, okay? Codex does not apply to herbs. That process is underway, but it's not codex. Codex is in the process of restricting the international trade in nutrients. And remember, codex's first area of impact is in international trade. And its second area of impact is in countries that adjust their laws to harmonize with codex, okay? So in the United States, we have a bill called DSHEA, the Dietary Supplements Health and Education Act, which was passed in 1993, went into effect in 94, which has a very, very clear statement and impact that says that that nutrients are foods, and as such, they can have no upper limits set on their use. And that's a very precious law. Now, DSHEA is not an act that the FDA likes at all, and they have vowed to overturn it. Well, there are currently 5 bills before Congress, and there's another crop of them about to come out that gut DSHEA, that overturn it, that make it meaningless. And one of the things that we need to do is to protect DSHEA. which says that nutrients are foods, because if we don't have Dashay, there is absolutely nothing to protect our nutrients and our high-potency vitamins and minerals from harmonization with Codex, which wants there to be no high-potency nutrient available legally anywhere on the planet. The second thing to remember is that when manufacturers have to run two lines, one, a high-potency manufacturing line, and two, a low-potency line to ship their materials internationally, their nutritional supplements, most manufacturers, especially the smaller ones, cannot afford to run two manufacturing lines with two formulations. So they have the U.S. market and their share of that versus the potential of a global market. Well, what do you think they choose? These are business people. They have to keep their companies in business, and whatever they might personally think and feel, they go for the dumbed-down dosages. And that's very, very clear. And that is happening. Major vitamin and mineral companies are dumbing down, are diluting their vitamin and mineral formulations in order to be able to sell into the global market.
Well, Rita,
that's bad enough.
Why is it worse. Wait a minute. Why is it that the health food stores aren't doing anything about it?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. If you go onto our website, www.healthfreedomusa.org, you will see a section called Codex Propaganda. And the Codex Propaganda comes in three flavors. The first flavor is Codex is a hoax. It's not a hoax. By the way, this is under About Codex on the website. If you click on About Codex, you get to Codex Propaganda. Codex Propaganda, flavor number one, Codex is a hoax. Snopes.com has an idiotic article, which we have a refutation of on our site, that says, no, it's not a hoax, it's a real thing. Second of all, Codex Propaganda says Codex is really good for consumers because it's going to protect us from these dangerous vitamins and minerals. Well, that's propaganda. That's put out by the Council for Responsible Nutrition, CRN, and has hoodwinked their members. And then the third flavor of Codex Propaganda is Codex is harmless. It won't do any harm to the United States. And that's put out by the NNFA, the National Nutritional Foods Association, which is the trade organization for health food stores. And their information is very persuasive and very calming and very wrong and very dishonest. And we also have a point-by-point discussion and refutation of their propaganda. Now, why would the Health Food Store Trade Organization and CRN, the trade organization for the MLM companies, why would they be saying Codex is not a problem? Well, back in 1994, when Dashay, the Dietary Supplements Health and Education Act, the one that says that nutrients are foods, went into effect, the pharmaceutical industry, which is by no means stupid, noticed that there was gold in them nar pills. Huge market was about to burgeon. And so they purchased the large nutrient suppliers, and they also purchased or set up the means of supply. The factories that make the raw products are owned in the main by pharmaceutical companies. That means that they had the right then, as suppliers and as company owners, they had the right to become members of both the CRN and the NNFA. Let me give you a list,
a partial list of some of their membership. You mean to tell me that all the manufacturers of the goods that go into vitamins and minerals now are owned by the pharmaceutical industry?
About 95%.
Oh, my God.
And
that's frightening in itself.
It should be. It should be frightening. And they prefer the synthetic, genetically modified sourcing to the natural sourcing because it's cheaper, of course. they make
more money
on it.
Is there a list of, say, health food products that are still maintaining a pure?
Well, as a matter of fact, if you go to our sister site, which is www.eatsafeeatsmart, you will see that every product on there, and there are personal care products and cosmetics and chocolates and snacks and raw foods and so on and so on, everything on that site is organic. Everything on that site is free from GMOs. Everything on that site is real food. It's real stuff that hasn't been created in a chemical laboratory. That's www.eatsafeeatsmart.com. The site does two things. It gives three things. It gives you information about what's going on and choices about what to buy. It offers you products that you can, in fact, access through the Internet. And every sale does give us a small financial support. So we would appreciate your help. And we hope you'll help yourself by buying safe, natural, non-GMO products and foods. But let me give you a quick list of some of the members of CRN and NNFA, the two trade organizations that speak for the multi-level companies and for the health food stores. We've got Monsanto, we've got Archer Daniels Midland, we've got Wyeth, we've got Smith Klein Beecham, we've got Novartis, we've got Glaxo, we've got Johnson & Johnson, we've got Kennett, we've got Eastman Chemical. Do you get the idea?
Right.
These are the very companies that are running Codex for their own benefit.
And
now,
if they make small profit
margins for nutrients and huge profit margins for drugs.
Absolutely.
They're competitors.
Well, I might add that these are some of the same people that Sloan Kettering sets the pace for how cancer is treated nationwide. Half of their board are the polluting industries such as Exxon and Gulf and BP and all the polluting industries. The other half of their board is Merck, Pfizer, Lilly, and some of these Novartis. All these people, and they're the ones that treat cancer with radiation and chemotherapy and these high-cost drugs, when in fact cancer can be cured with natural herbs and vitamins.
Exactly. They don't want cancer cured with natural anything.
That's
because
right.
Cancer is the single most profitable disease ever discovered by the human species.
I know it.
Why on earth would they want that? Well, they don't. And so what we have is a ring of medical disease and drugs and polluters and physicians who are all intermeshed with one another. Now, we didn't have a chance to talk about my background. I am a physician. I have an MD, and I have practiced drug-free medicine for better than 35 years because I don't believe that poisoning enzymes, which is what drugs do, every drug works that way. I don't believe that poisoning enzymes helps people get well. It might be useful in an acute situation. When my husband broke his hip skiing, we took him to an emergency room and they put anesthesia into his vein and they did surgery and so on, and then it was time for modern medicine. But as soon as he hit the recovery room, we were dripping vitamin C and multivitamins and multiminerals into his arm. And you know what? This man who was never supposed to walk again, this man walked out of the hospital on crutches, and he was dancing 3 months later, and he was skiing 1 year to the day later in the Canadian Rockies because he had nutrition. This is when the surgeon told us that he would never walk, drive, ski, or dance again because of the severity of the injury. Now, medicine doesn't want to cure disease and disorders. Doctors, individual doctors might, but the entire industry is based in sickness. And if you cure sickness with cheap and effective non-toxic remedies, what happens to the entire pharmaceutical industry, including cancer treatment? It's devastated. It's irrelevant. It's like the buggy whip maker. No more buggies. No more buggy whips, no more industry.
Well, you would think that instead of trying to wipe out alternative health, they would jump in and encourage it and realize that they could probably make just as much, maybe not just as much money, but certainly a very adequate income from the sale of herbs and vitamins if done naturally. I don't understand why they have to be so evil.
No, not adequate. Let's talk about vitamin C. Now, I use vitamin C when I treat patients for heart disease, when I treat patients for immune failure that has led to cancer. I don't treat cancer, by the way. I'm not an oncologist. When I treat a great many things, I use IV vitamin C. And a bottle of 50 grams of intravenous vitamin C, plus the water to mix it in, plus the vitamins and minerals and so on, maybe that IV costs the patient $90. Okay?
Oh, wow.
Now, when you think about a prescription, when you think about the fact that a single cancer treatment can cost $30,000 to $35,000,
okay,
a single treatment, not a course of treatment.
Right.
When you think about the fact that an antibiotic can cost hundreds of dollars a pill or $1,000 a prescription, when you think about what people are spending for the deadly statin drugs and then for the diseases that come from taking them, including erectile dysfunction, by the way, we're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of times more profit than from unpatentable, cheap, simple nutrients. And yet it's the cheap, simple nutrients that support the body, support its healing and well-being, and are what the body knows how to use to heal. But this isn't about healing. This isn't about an adequate living. This is about more money than any other industry, including oil and including war, has ever produced.
That's true. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I've never seen such profits in my life as comes out of the medical industry.
Exactly. And the medical illness industry is misnamed as the healthcare industry. It is the illness care industry. A year and a half ago, I closed my practice to new patients because my husband and I decided to take on the Codex struggle and the other health freedom struggles. And that's what we're doing about triple time. But before that, I sat at my desk and people would come to me from all over the world with incurable whatever. And they'd been everywhere and they'd done everything. And at the end of the day, what gave these people their health and their ability to be well in a toxic world was simple non-pharmaceutical medicine, nutritional medicine, detoxification and environmental medicine, frequency medicine, the things that give the body what it needs to heal. And you know what? Drugs don't. Drugs give the body what it needs to have more illness and more side effects.
The drugs that are administered by the pharmaceutical industry store in the liver and cause ultimate disease. And you know, even all the so-called antidepressants, once, I just read a report recently that once someone starts on antidepressants, that their brain actually starts shrinking and that it is a precursor to Alzheimer's.
Absolutely.
So there's nothing that we're doing that is administered by the industry, you know, the pharmaceutical industry that is supporting health. It's anti-life.
It's absolutely anti-life. It is pro-death, pro-illness, and pro-death. People in this country especially have bought into the pharmaceutical error, and they think that everything needs to be treated with pharmaceuticals and nothing needs to be treated with lifestyle. Now, there are people who understand differently and they take nutrients, they take supplements, they eat organic food, they take care of their bodies in a healthy way rather than figuring that they can just get away with abusing their bodies, living in a toxic world, eating devitalized foods with a minimal or absent nutritional basis filled with artificial colors, flavors, trans fatty acids, and so on. And they can just take a pill at the end of the day.
Right.
Wrong.
I know.
We are creatures of balance, and when we unbalance our bodies, when we unbalance our minds, our emotions, and our environment, we will get sick. The way back to health is through natural means, not through drugs.
Well, you know, it's just the whole idea of completely ignoring the earth, you know, our mother. And there's a whole, you know, it's like an ignorance that just disrespects the source of our life. And they're polluting the earth as fast as they can. And they're denying us the privilege of what God puts in nature. And it's a consciousness that is so frightening, you know. And it's leading us to devastating earth changes and, you know, a political nightmare that we have in our, you know, America's like a fascist country right now. We're so controlled by business and corporations.
That's right. That's right. We still have the internet. Now, there are pressures to take it away from us, but
we still do.
And that's why I ask people to become points of dissemination, points of light, to send out the information. If you go to the website, www.healthfreedomusa.org, you will see that there is a place on the right-hand side for you to sign up. You have to scroll down a short way to sign up and get email updates. Forward those. Now, as you scroll down the right-hand side, you'll also see that there's an e-book and a DVD. The DVD is called Nutricide, and it is a tape of a lecture that my husband, General Stubblebine, and I gave as the keynote address speakers for the National Association of Nutrition Professionals. And it has a great deal of information about Codex, about the background of Codex, which will startle you, and about what you can do as Americans to protect yourself and the people you love. Because make no mistake, Codex, according to the World Health Organization and the Food and Agriculture Organization, its parents, its mommy and daddy, Codex, when it goes into global implementation, which is anticipated to be December 31st, 2009, is expected to kill a minimum of 3 billion people, 1 billion through simple starvation, and 2 billion through the preventable diseases, as identified by the WHO, the preventable diseases of undernutrition, cancer, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, stroke, etc. So the nutritionally vulnerable will go first, and then the rest of us. And if you don't want this to happen, you need to understand it, and you need to take action now. Another thing you'll see on the website.
You're suggesting in taking action for people to call and write their senators and congressmen.
Absolutely. That is part of the action. On our webpage, you'll see what you can do. And we have sign petition. Now, this is not a regular petition. This is a citizen's petition, which is a legal challenge to U.S. Codex policy. And we urge everyone to join that challenge. You can join the mailing list, disseminate information. You can email Congress. We have an easy search engine. You just put in your information, and a letter is sent, your letter, or you can use ours, sent to all of your Congress people. We ask you to donate. Why do we do that? We have a thermometer saying that we've raised $28,000. Why do we ask you to donate? Well, in January and February, the Natural Solutions Foundation went to Africa, and we met with ministers of health, and we met with Codex Committee chair people, and we met with other high-ranking decision makers, and we presented them with the Codex e-book, which is a document with a huge amount of information about how countries can protect themselves and why nutrition is important, and specific protocols, too. And we told them that they do not have to watch their people die. Now, out of that came a health initiative in the Codex Committee on Food Labeling last week, when South Africa, for the first time in Codex's history, forced pro-health language into the Codex framework. That was amazing. And that came, we believe, directly out of our work in Africa. We met with these people in South Africa. We met with people in Kenya and Tunisia and Ghana and numerous other countries, Zimbabwe and so on.
Well, Rima, isn't there, I mean, as an organization, can you not take the role of lobbyist and go and lobby in Washington?
Well, we cannot. We're a not-for-profit organization, by the way, and anything that is donated to us is tax-deductible. We're a not-for-profit organization, and therefore we cannot lobby Congress. What we can do, however, and what we do is educate Congress. And we have friends in Congress who had never heard of Codex, members of Congress, but we've been educating Congress. We've been working with Congress and letting them know what's happening. And the pro-health friends that we have in Congress on both sides of the aisle, right and left, are aware of what we're doing and highly supportive. I was just on the phone earlier, was it earlier today? No, yesterday. Time flies when you're having this much fun. I was on the phone yesterday with the chief aide of one of the members of Congress who is on our side, and he asked for an update, which I sent to him. We do try to keep Congress updated, and we will be asking for their support along the way, and they've promised it to us. So letting your congressman know that you're up to speed and that you want them to protect you from the international standards of Codex is very, very important, and that, of course, means controlling the FDA. So the citizen's petition is very important, and we ask you to sign that and to write to Congress using our easy engine. You just type in your information, and it's quite automatic. And then we ask you to show the DVD in your area. Get your health food store interested. Get them to pass out the petition for people to sign and then send back to us, and we will collate them and send them all to the appropriate places in the government. But most of all, don't be passive. This is your battle. Everybody eats, and the foundation of health is in a safe, clean, unadulterated diet, and Codex will take that from you and your children. Codex allows pesticides that the world banned in 2001.
Yeah,
there were seven pesticides banned at the Stockholm Convention. 176 countries agreed to that ban, including the United States. Well, last year, Codex brought back seven of those pesticides.
DDT.
Pardon me?
Isn't that true? Didn't they bring back in DDT?
DDT was not one of them, but there are people lobbying for the use of DDT. DDT is not actually a food pesticide. It's a mosquito and insect control pesticide that's used in non-food applications. But they brought back hexachlorobenzene, which killed thousands of people in Turkey in the 80s. They brought back Eldrin and Dieldrin. They brought back horrible, horrible persistent organic pollutants, as they're called, POPs. And now if the United States detects food contaminated with these horrible things at its borders, it can't keep them out of the food supply because that would be creating a barrier to trade. There's quite a lot that Codex does that is absolutely horrifying.
Well, they're just literally poisoning the population. I mean, it's that simple. They are poisoning the population by taking away our pure food, our right to use herbs and vitamins, our, you know, ability to grow foods in a pure fashion. I mean, if they're going to be spraying plants, then those sprays go over, you know, they cross over to various farms and pollute the waters. I mean, it's absolutely, it's diabolical.
Well, how about if we make them stop?
Well, I think we should. And
I think we should too, Lexi. And I think that the power of the people has been buried in propaganda that very, very stealthily convinces us that we are alone, that we are powerless, and that we have no ability to impact events. And that's not true. We do. Let me tell you a little story. In 1970... Where,
you know what? We don't have much time. I'll let you tell this quick story, and then I'm going to have to sign off.
Okay. Real quick. In 1972, we were told that everybody in this country had to have smallpox vaccine. Doctors looked at it and said, this is really dangerous. I don't think so. And doctors around the country refused to give the vaccination. And you know what? The whole effort just rolled up and went away. We have power.
Well, I want to encourage all of our listeners to go to your website. We've been talking to Rima LeBeau, who has taken on the campaign of defeating the Codex legislation. And her website is www.healthfreedomusa.org. I hope all the listeners will please tune in and take some sort of action. This is not going to go away until we rise to do something about it and educate as many people as we can to this destructive legislation that is moving across the earth. And you know, Rima, I would really like you to come back again and perhaps talk about some of the countries that are making an effort and who has already voted for this, because there's so many political implications. And I'm just curious, are you would you be free to come back and talk about it again next week?
You bet.
Okay,
you bet.
Well,
I would be very happy to do that.
Let's do that. Well, I'm going to have to thank you for being with us on Health Frontiers, and we will be in touch, and I hope all of our listeners will take action. And it has been a pleasure to talk to you, Rima.
Thank you so much, Lexi. www.healthfreedomusa.org.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.